escape the frisbee. Frisbee ain't more. Frisbee thrown.
Thank you. This week we've been inviting you to engage a variety of spiritual assignments and inviting you to share your stories about your experience with those assignments with us. And you, if you were here yesterday, will remember that our spiritual practice for yesterday was embracing change. And Elaine Bowen has a story to share with us this morning for our chalice lighting.
I don't like change. I've always subscribed to the theory that the only person in life who really likes change is a baby with a soiled diaper. I really don't like change. I've been coming to SI since 2007, and the first year I was in the Manning dorm, and all the years since then I've been in Leonard. I was in my comfort zone. This was my place. And this year, I was asked by a friend of mine to be her roommate. And when we got here, I found out my dorm assignment was not Leonard. I was going to be in Mather. Oh, no. Up on the new side of campus, I wanted the old end of Kenyon. I really wasn't that happy, and I was trying very hard not to let it show. But truth be told, I was grumpy. I was kind of crabby Sunday night. And I didn't say anything, and I'm kind of trying to deal with it like a big girl. And Sunday night dinner, my friend commented how happy she was about our dorm assignment and how much she loved it. And it was exactly what she wanted. And this was just making her SI perfect. And I'm thinking, okay, what do I do with this? So Monday morning, we were at breakfast, and she had this big smile on her face. And she goes, I am so happy about our dorm room. It's just absolutely perfect. And that was the aha moment. It was, okay, kiddo, time for an attitude adjustment. So I had that little conversation with myself that started with the proverbial kick in the seat of my pants. And I said, this isn't about you. This is so not about you. This is about your friend's joy and happiness. And I said to myself, suck it up, buttercup. Get over yourself. It's not about you. It's all about her happiness and her joy.
We light our chalice this morning with gratitude for the growth that is always possible when we embrace change. If you are a dreamer, come in. If you are a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer, if you are a pretender, come, sit by my fire, for we have some flax golden tales to spin. Come in, come in. Our theme for spiritual exploration this morning is playing. And what better way to begin to understand a theme about playing than by to play? So we have a little game for you over the next few minutes. And if you're in the balcony and you want to play this game, if you can run down real quick and stand in the aisles, you'll be really helpful in this game. Now, some of you, this will be fabulous fun, and some of you, this might push you a little outside of your comfort zones, but remember back to Monday when I said that's okay if that happens. But if you're holding coffee or drinks in your hands, you probably don't want to do that. You probably want to put them down. So our game involves playing together, and it's going to take everybody in this room to play together. We're going to start with a a little ball of the earth, and our choir is going to throw it out to you. And your job, and this is going to be a challenge because we're spread out, your job is to see if you can keep it from touching the ground. So we're going to try that for a minute or so, and then I'm going to ring the chime, so you're going to have to listen. And we get to start again if we mess up, so that's okay. So you have to listen for the chime for the next direction. Here we go. Whoever has it, hold it. Here's your next direction. Now, this is going to be really challenging because now we have two. So you have to pay attention. And when you hear the chime, if you have the ball, just hold it. Here we go. Go ahead. Okay, hold the balls for just a second for your next direction. Now, balcony, there's one more chance to play if you want to be part of this. Run down real quick. All right, so here we go. Here's your next direction. So when we start again, we're not going to have one ball. We're not going to have two balls. We're going to have three balls. So you see that we have a little one, and we have a big one. Now, the one that we're going to add is really, really, really big. You're not going to be able to catch it with one person. Now, this one's not heavy, so you don't have to worry about getting hurt, but it is really big. It's going to take about four or five of us, so get ready. When we throw it, you do all three, and then listen for the chime.
This is your opportunity to do some singing. We are going to sing a fabulous Rafi song. And the cues will be up on the walls, so you'll know what to do. I'm just wondering if maybe the choir should sing it the first verse. Join us whenever it feels good. So either right from the beginning or as the choir gets going. We'll rise because, you know, how can you sit after all that energy? So. Okay, so join as you get comfortable. The words are magically up there. Here's the beginning note. And I will say,
So next we're going to try another kind of playing. This one's a quieter playing. So let's get in the right space for that by taking a big, deep breath together. This kind of play does not have rules or words. It's about expressing the creativity in your body and interacting with your body and then another person. For some people, this is easy. For other people, it might be a little bit challenging. So my invitation is to see what it might be like for you. Because this is wordless, I'd like to invite you to refrain from speaking. See how you can play even without words. The first part we will do by ourselves. So I'd like to invite everyone to start by raising a hand and look at your hand. Take a look. What does your hand look like? Check it out. And how does it move? What are the different ways your hand can move? And as you see what ways your hand can move, I'd like to invite you to realize your hand can dance all by itself, just your hand and your arm. So let your hand dance and see what kind of dance it has today. Might be slow or fast, wild or gentle. Whatever dance your soul leads your hand in. And now, without speaking, turn to someone near you. Two other someones are fine, too. Make sure if there's someone who wants to participate, no one is left out. And hold your hands up to each other. You can touch or not. And now, without speaking, how can your hands move together? What kind of dance can your hands dance together? Now please thank each other for this time together.
Exploration of play. We've played together, and we'll talk about play in a little bit, but before we do, we thought it might be helpful to see how some creatures who are not people play together. So we have a couple of video clips for you of animals playing. And what I'd like you to know about this first clip is that this clip was taken by some people who lived in a house, and the people who lived in a house had a swimming pool in their backyard. And one of the things that they noticed in the summertime is that after they left their house for any period of time on a hot summer day, when they would come home, there was water splashed all along the platform outside the pool, and they couldn't understand what was going on. They thought, maybe were some people breaking in every time they left to go swimming? So they set up a video camera, and this is what they discovered. And while that's getting hooked up and the choir gets themselves moved, I'll let you know that if you think that this is really fun and you can't get quite enough of this, YouTube is a treasure trove of fabulous video clips. Had remarkably few technical challenges during our morning services. So what I have just been informed is that the particular software isn't going to play this particular video. So we're gonna fix that for you real quick. But while that gets fixed, I think we need to play another game. So I think the game that we should play is follow the leader, and the balcony is the leader. All right, so everybody please rise and if you're able and take a look at the balcony. Balcony, you lead us. What should we do first? All right, we've got it. What's next? What's next? Okay, we need one more. Last one. A giraffe? All right, give yourselves a hand. Thank you. All right, I think we're ready to go now.
As you can see there, play is a universal language, not just between humans or between us and our pets, but even between different species. Play is a language deeper than words, a language that connects us deeply to ourselves, to each other, to the animals in our world, and to actually a sort of our whole world around us. We've all played with a baby too young to talk or understand words. The baby couldn't understand a presentation about rules or understand winning or losing. But that baby can engage all of us in a delightful game of silly faces, lip grabbing, or peekaboo. If you have a pet, you probably know how to connect to your pet through play. If I make the right play postures with my dog or goose's tail, or indicate I'm going to chase him, that's all we need to start a game. Play is deeply important to us, deeply important to what it means to be human and how we become human. Babies attach to their caregivers through play, which brings the brain of the parent into resonance with the baby's brain, leading to the kind of connection which teaches the baby to trust, shows the baby she is loved, and teaches the baby who he is. The parent's brain is literally shaping the baby's brain. Studies have shown that self-directed play, where young children negotiate rules and roles, increases self-control and leads to better academic success later, increases emotional resiliency and flexibility, increases social aptitude, and increases resistance to stress, depression, and anxiety. Rough and tumble play leads to less physical violence when older. It's how we learn cooperation and trust and the kind of social rules. If play is so critical to children, why wouldn't it be important for all of us? Play brings laughter and joy. There's been a lot of laughter in this room this morning. Play makes room for imagination, which is the foundation of hope, because we need imagination to imagine a new possibility for ourselves. Play helps us feel alive. Play brings us into the present moment. Play brings us creativity, helps us build trust with each other, and brings us to a place where we understand that playing isn't about winning or losing, but about relationship. I think the world would be a better place if grown-ups played more. But what does play have to do with spirituality? Why are we talking about play in morning worship and playing goofy games as fun as they are? I think sometimes the word spirituality conveys a kind of deep seriousness that may be counterproductive to actual spiritual practice. Spiritual practice can be deeply serious, but it is not about taking ourselves seriously, nor about taking life too seriously. Spiritual practice is not about draining the fun or joy from life. Precisely the opposite. To help us learn these lessons, many sages have approached religion and spirituality playfully and finding playful ways to teach us not to take ourselves too seriously. And in many religious stories and folklore, there are tricksters who are often gods or goddesses or spirits. Here are two quotes from some contemporary religious teachers. Alan Watts writes, "Man suffers only because he takes seriously what the gods made for fun." And Diane Ackerman writes, "In rare moments of deep play, we can lay aside our sense of self, shed time's continuum, ignore pain, and sit quietly in the absolute present, watching the world's ordinary miracles. No mind or heart hobbles, no analyzing or explaining, no questing for logic, no promises, no goals, no worry. One is completely open to whatever drama may unfold." Play helps us to hold life lightly while still finding meaning. Holding life lightly helps us accept and live with life's absurdities and paradoxes. I don't think that imagination and creativity are counter to spirituality. I think they actually help us find deep spiritual connection, deeper than we can find if we just use our reason or intellect. Play can help us transform ourselves, leading us into ways of being we have shut down or avoided, helping us expand and grow. And there are many forms of play which can be spiritual practice. We can play with our bodies, running and jumping and dancing and climbing, feeling like it's what it's like to move our bodies in new ways and old. We can play with things, frisbees and hula hoops and more. What new use can we find for this cup, this stick, this leaf? We can play rough and tumble with each other, play that increases our social awareness and cooperation and fairness. We can play creatively, imagining a pretend world together that might maybe lead us towards the world we want to create. We can tell stories. We can play with creativity, with paint and words and theater, using imagination and play together to transform ourselves and our world. And we can play that simple, wordless, eye-to-eye connection between humans, where, like parent and child, our minds attune and resonate with each other. I believe we all deserve to fill our lives with this kind of play. There are times when life is serious and hard, yes, but we also deserve joy, laughter, and the kind of hope that comes from imagining a future that's sometimes not like the hard thing we're experiencing today. We all deserve to remember that our worth is not measured by how much work we do, by how tightly we press our noses to the grindstone, or how stressed out we are. Play lets us celebrate our worth, lets us exuberantly express that we are alive. Kids have society's permission to play often, although more and more younger classrooms have them more regimented and playing less. And as we grow, we lose more and more of that. So I think often adults don't feel like we have society's permission to play, and that if we appear too playful or free-spirited, we will be seen as irresponsible. But I believe we all deserve permission to play. As we play, we might learn from the ways the animal kingdom plays. BBC Planet Wild's show observed that there are three rules to playing. First, signal your friendly intentions. Second, be gentle. Don't follow through on your bite, and stop if it hurts. Third, it's not about winning. Animals make sure no one wins too much because then it stops being fun. It's the joining in that counts. I'm sure you've guessed today's spiritual practice assignment. We're hoping that you're going to continue playing. I know you've been playing here at Summer Institute, but find some new ways of playing. I invite you to be present in your play and open yourselves to the gifts that playing brings. If you're ready for a deeper challenge, find a kind of play that is a little bit uncomfortable and stretchy for you, and stretch yourself enough to try it out. It might be just what your soul needs. Our closing song comes from the African-American Civil Rights period. It reminds us that the spirit both urges our singing and our work for justice, that these celebrations and play and work for justice comes from the same voice within. Got to do when the Spirit says do.
Should we stand? We should stand.
Thank you.
play with our ears and eyes and fingertips, with our legs and arms and faces, with our voices and our words and our thoughts. May our play together in this sacred community bless us each with joy, with laughter, with trust, with love, and with hope.
Have you traveled far or near? Have you met a face brand new? Have you walked more in these days than all last year? Have you eaten enough food for two? Is your hair sort of pinkish? Is your skin sort of damp? Do you not care if you're sort of stinkish? You must be at a UU camp. I will admit that's an oldie but a goodie, as the announcement songs go, and I have the foresight to keep some of them so that when I don't have one, I can pull one out. An announcement from the planning committee. It's a heads up because we want you to start thinking now about next SI. We are changing one thing in the proposal process, and that's the deadline. We're making the deadline for proposing seminars and workshops. Seminars are the morning 5-day pieces, and workshops are the afternoon pieces that we do. And previously, for many years, that deadline has been November 1st. This year, the deadline is going to be October 1st. We're bumping it up a whole month because we're trying to change some things about our planning process and the timeline to feel like we have things in place before we're scrambling a little more than we are now. So just keep that in mind. I mention that now because we will have proposal forms at the end of this week, and we will have electronic proposals available online so that you can do it on your computer and or print it out and mail it in to us very quickly after SI. We think that the energy at SI is so high and it lasts with us for weeks and maybe a month or two and maybe all year, but it's the highest right after SI. And so we want to get your ideas for next year when they're fresh and when you're super excited, because we're already thinking about next year. Talking about play... Have you noticed some toys around? I didn't write a song to go with that one. Aesop, First UU, is a performance that we are hosting this week, and we're really excited to add it to our evening programs. This is tonight, right? Tonight at 6:30 in Bolton Theater. Bolton Theater is the middle of the three artsy places that we are using over near Pierce Hall. The building is marked well, and it's a great little theater, and they're going to be there tonight. Toys are available in the lobby of Pierce and at the door, and first come, first serve. Come and be a part of the show. Apparently, there's going to be some interaction. The books have arrived, which is good. Some of you may know that on Monday when we first opened the bookstore, we had not yet received our books. Fortunately, we have lots of other stuff in addition to the books. We have a really packed full bookstore this year, but the books have arrived. We are already sold. Thank you. We are already sold out of some of them. So you should go this afternoon. The bookstore is open after lunch and after dinner each day. The last chance for raffle tickets. There are items in the bookstore that are raffle items, which will be drawn tonight. So the last chance to get your raffle tickets for those scholarship fund items can be purchased at dinner. And this evening, I think probably at Vespers, we will announce the winners of those drawings. So check those out. There are some items for sale in the bookstore where all of the proceeds are going to the scholarship fund. So come and see everything we've got and... buy things, because we want you to have things. There's been a fairy sighting. There have been fairies sighted at the Upside Down Tree, and you are invited. Pat Trudeau would like you to join her tonight at 8 p.m. in a fairy search, and you should meet at the Upside Down Tree. There you go. I was going to do this another day, but let's do it today too. The labyrinth that we talked about yesterday, if you haven't yet found it and you want to, you should look for it. Again, it's behind the chapel. It has to be taken down on Friday afternoon, and that will happen at 4 o'clock on Friday, weather permitting. So I don't know if there's anyone assigned to that, but we do need some help. So visit the labyrinth, enjoy it, and consider spending a little time on Friday afternoon helping us take it down. Set up crew and others are welcome. Thank you. Post-DOMA discussion group. What's next on the Supreme Court decision? Sam, I think I saw you here. Sam isn't here. He's not going to know this. We're moving it. But I will make sure that Sam knows. I said last night that we were going to have this in Brandy Recital Hall, and someone should let me know if they thought of a conflict. Well, there is one. And it relates to another announcement that I don't have full information for, but I'll make it up. So the DOMA conversation, the post Supreme Court decision DOMA discussion group is going to happen this afternoon in the early afternoon time frame at 1:30. However, it's going to be in Hayes 109. Hayes is one of the buildings in the Science Quad over here. I can't tell you exactly which one. I can only tell you which buildings it's not. So just look for Hayes. It is not the one that's on the middle path. That's Sam Mather, but they're right next to this one. Thank you very much. So in Hayes 109 this afternoon at 1:30 is where that will be. The reason we have moved that is we need to do auditions for the children's talent show, and we use Brandy Recital Hall for that. I'm quite certain that some of those auditions are going to happen in the early afternoon timeframe today, so that's also at 1:30. I believe there will be more auditions tomorrow, and Nathan Staples is going to be the person to tell us exactly how that all works. So I'll get as much information as I can and share that later. A reminder, if your work shift is set up for the dance this evening, this is a change from what I announced yesterday. We're going to meet at Upper Gund, which is the same location. That's where we registered on Sunday. Upper Gund this evening at 7:45 p.m. So that's later than we announced yesterday. 7:45 p.m. is when we can use your help there. Last but not least, I'm trying to remember the tune, just a second. One seminar has moved about in such preambulations. To belly dancer we gratefully say, we thank you for your patience. On Bolton stage in cool air, the dancers, they were grooving. Now belly dance is home at last. Today you are not moving. That's all I have for today. I should let you know that there was a time historically when people would write announcements for me. Two songs, and you can do that. The trick is I need to know the tune. I know lots of tunes, but so there's your challenge. If you have an announcement, set it to a song, and we'll see. We are at 9:18, and we will start a theme talk in here at 9:30. Thanks, everybody.